All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are all right. Today we have a fantastic new episode of the Oasis Podcast, and I am joined by two Noels, not real Noels. We are joined by two tribute band Noels, and the two best, I think, which is Stu from the band Oasis and Matt, who is the Noel from AKA Noel Gallagher. So the best Oasis tribute band and the best Noel Gallagher tribute band combine. And the reason for this is obviously there's loads of Noel-based stuff to discuss with the album being released and the various interviews that's been going on. But the main one, I think the one that's really been a massive deal for a lot of us Noel Gallagher fans, has been the pedal show that he did on YouTube. And so that's the main reason I wanted to get a couple of Noels together to discuss that. Because I'm not really techie and into the guitar stuff, so I thought I'd get a couple of guys that are. But yeah, I still really enjoyed that pedal show. And yeah, we go on to discuss that and a number of other things. As always with these things, you just end up having a really good chat. So that was good fun. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Also, on top of that, I just wanted to flag a couple of other things. Obviously, Noel's been playing gigs in America with Garbage, like we talked about. And one of them the other day, he forgot the solo of Don't Look Back in Anger and messed it up. So I thought that would be quite entertaining. Let's have a listen. So what I really like about that is the way it, and if you should really check out the clip, he just gives up halfway through, and he's just laughing. He's just turning around the guys and laughing. And yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it, to have the confidence to just be, yeah, okay, whatever, I messed up. What, you know, he's Noel, he's allowed. So that was very entertaining. And probably, you know, if you went to see him, I'd rather see him mess up. You know, if he's messed up every song, then that might be a bit much. But, you know, to have a be there for the special moment like that, that'd be really entertaining. So anyway, and it's quite interesting that he did mess up that one, because a few of the recent interviews, when he's been talking about the album, he's been talking about Johnny Marr, he's been talking about Paul Strange Boy Stacey, you know, and he said a couple of times, you know, I'm not a lead guitar player anymore, like, I'm not going to do those solos anymore, and I'm getting other people to come in and play these things. And yeah, and he's not really there anymore as a player. And I think that's I don't necessarily think it's sad. I think it's just where he is, and he's sort of comfortable letting other people take that. So yeah, there we are. The other point, really, I suppose, Liam Gallagher has been on the Joe Wiley show. He did an interview with Joe Wiley on Radio 2. The reason for that is they are finally releasing a vinyl for Nebworth 22. Obviously, the film came out already and everything around it. So, you know, sort of scraping the barrel, I suppose, find some content to get out there to people. But yeah, Nebworth 22 will be out, I think, August 11th. And so, you know, Liam's probably doing the minimum required promotion, which is one interview with Joe Wiley. And yeah, I mean, it was interesting enough, actually. And I did, you know, because there's been a lot of kind of Oasis reunion sort of chat going on, he was obviously asked about that. But yeah, other than that, it was just nice having him in the studio. Nothing particularly special or exciting, really. But anyway, here's a clip.
Right, we're going to play. You're here to talk about the album, which is beautiful. I don't know that there are that many copies around. Have you not? Oh my God, it's gorgeous.
You need to be partying.
This is Nebworth 22, which is what you played. I'm just going to pass it over so you can have a look at it as well. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I'm on the cover, so it's always going to be a winner.
Looking good.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. I mean, it sounds mega, and, you know, it was a top few days out.
We're going to play a track from it, and we'll talk more after this. So this song, Roll It Over.
Oh, yeah.
This is a single, isn't it, that's coming out. Why this song? Because you didn't play it with Oasis, did you?
I think we might have played. I'm not sure, you know. I can't remember that far back, but we may have and we may not have. And if we did, it would have probably been half of it. And Noel would have probably walked off halfway through it and that. But anyway, we played it this time and it sounds mega. With the choir and all that, it sounded amazing. So, yeah, I think I've done a good job on it.
Right, this one's called Roll It Over.
Okay, so without any further Freddie ado, let's go over to this main interview with the guys from Oasis and AK Noel Gallagher. Make sure you check out the link in the description where I've got a full list of the guys' gigs they've got coming up. We talked through a few of them in the interview, but another one that I didn't mention in that, actually, because it's quite far out, is they are playing Dingwalls in Camden on the 9th of December, which is a really interesting one. I think I'll try and get down to that because Dingwalls is a bit of a legendary venue. So, that one looks interesting. Anyway, that will do from me, and I'll see you on the other side. Let's get cracked on. Welcome to the Oasis podcast, Noel and Noel. So we've actually got today, it's very exciting. We've got the two best Noels. Well, obviously you got the Noel, which he's pretty good, I suppose. But then we have Noel from my favourite Oasis tribute band, Oasis, which is Stu. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, very well, very well. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. I know we were supposed to get Aaron, who's your Liam, but then he bailed last minute, which I thought was very, very fitting for Liam breaking out last minute, leaving Noel to do it.
He said, "Oh, I want to come on." I was just like, "Okay, well, I'll tell you that you're coming on." And I didn't say that. He said, "I said I possibly might want to come on." I was like, "Oh, well, there we go." Yeah.
You know, so. Is he going to be shouting abuse at us from the gantry or something now, do you think?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought would happen, yeah.
He'll phone in halfway through, start chucking. Yeah, he's at the window now, chucking beer cans at me. but yeah, all good. And we have from the number one, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds tribute band, a.k.a. Noel Gallagher. Matt, how are you doing?
Very well, mate. Very well. Thank you for... thank you for welcoming me to this. This is going to be an interesting chat, I think, after a very interesting pedal show with Noel. So, yeah, really looking forward to having a chat with you both.
Absolutely. Mm. Well, that's why I thought this one would be really good to get the experts on, really, because I know, like, my sort of Discord and WhatsApp and things went mad after that pedal show, because I'm not, I'm not techie at all. I'm not a guitar player. I mean, I still loved it. And it's one of my favourite interviews he's done in years. But... Yeah. Obviously, I missed out. I didn't get a lot of the nuance on, like, all the talk of the different pedals and the different kind of, things he does and the way he does it. It was sort of lost on me, but I just enjoyed the fact that he was having such a great time, really. And then, obviously, the big thing for me, even when it starts, he's playing these riffs that he hasn't played for years. And I'm like, oh, wow, Noel's playing the Columbia riff or Noel's playing the Cigarettes and Alcohol. That for me was just, it's just sort of heartwarming. But, what did you think? So, Matt, I mean, what was your sort of initial impressions having first watched it?
Do you know what? Just from what you said there about Columbia and things, just the little snippets that we got, the little tasters from that pedal show that they put out there on Instagram and Facebook, and soon as you see it, you think this is going to be very, very good. This, because Stu, probably you the same. You know, probably watched that show for years and picked out maybe episodes with Ed O'Brien or Graham Coxon or whoever, or just watched random pedal episodes. But when the main man goes on, that was like, hang on a minute, this is going to be very, very good. Very, very. Yeah. And do you know what? I was kind of expecting it to be half an hour, 40 minutes. And to get nearly 2 hours, I was delighted, to say the least. Absolutely delighted. Because Graham Coxon one's just over an hour. I think the Ed O'Brien one's about an hour and 20, maybe, something like that. So the fact that Noel was in his comfort zone, he was in his own studio, you know, obviously wanting to show it off to the world, isn't he? Because he does quite a lot of bits and pieces there. Yeah, it's. I watched it twice fully now and just gone back to little bits to get screenshots of pedals and all that kind of stuff and try and find prices for the damn things as well, which, if Stu, I imagine you've done this, some of the prices of those things is absolutely frightening.
Yeah, I at the moment I like to say I'm happy with my pedal board, but after seeing that I'm kind of like, I could do one of those, you know. Luckily enough, I have the Space Echo pedal, which is the one which I wanted to get like a long time ago. It's like the more smaller version of it, obviously not like those weird tape delay ones which you used to get like a few years ago or anything like that, but my better half a few years ago, she went out and bought me the Space Echo pedal for, I think it was a Christmas present. So and that's
birthday and anniversary.
Yeah. That's been part of my setup now probably for the last at least 8 years now, and that, well, touch wood, that thing has never let me down, and it is so cool to use that thing because it really brings out the proper sound of it as well. So, yeah, no,
I suppose it's a bit different for you, isn't it? Because you're obviously in an Oasis tribute, so you're doing more of the probably the original sounds, would you say, from the 90s as well? Whereas I'm just really wanting us to recreate the stuff of the last 10, 15 years, really. We do loads of, obviously, got the loads of stuff that Noel hasn't done live since Oasis split, but it's very much based on what Noel's doing at that moment in time, and it evolves a little bit. So
you've got more of an excuse to go get more pedals. Because
that is true. Not that I can afford most of them, though. No, that's the thing.
I know.
It's the only one I can really get is the compressor, the Keeley compressor, and that's still 150 quid.
I mean, but then you're paying for quality, though, aren't you, at the same time? Yeah. So it's like when you get it should technically last you a lifetime sort of thing, you know? I mean, that's the thing, is that, I mean, it's mad, but my rhythm guitarist, I don't know how or why, but he seems to have a bigger pedal board than I do, you know? So, like, I look at my...
Is he a Gem or a Bonehead, though? Does he do solos and things?
I think he likes to be more a Gem, which I'd understand why he's got so many more pedals, but he's a bit... I would say he's a bit more geeky with it than I am, sort of thing. Because I would say that I'm more basic in my setup. I literally it's a Les Paul or a Sheraton or the Union Jack guitar through a Marshall, turn it up, and then really, like, I have that Space Echo pedal just going, not all the gig, but for a majority of the gig, definitely. And I just like have this like Vox Wah thing, which I've got there as well, which I use for like certain other little bits and pieces and stuff. And then I have a Tube Screamer just in case I just want to just sort of beef things up a little bit. And then, like, I mean, like I said, like, it's very simplistic, but then I guess, I mean, one of the things which not shocked me, because it was kind of like, well, I can understand that because they were quite a simplistic band in that regards, but like, he literally went on stage at Nebworth with a delay pedal and a tuner and a little tuner, and then that was it. It was just like, that's amazing.
Like a plywood.
A bit of plywood. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
That is mad to think that, you know, that was one of the things that really came across, is that this is the pedal show, and yet for the majority of his stuff, he wasn't really using many pedals. He really did keep it very simple. But saying earlier about that, the relaxed nature of the interview, I take it just from the little snippets I sort of caught in their conversation that guy from the show, like, does his stuff. He made the pedal board for him and stuff.
He has done, yeah. Yeah. He says, doesn't he, that Gem's got the board that Dan actually built for him.
Dan, that's it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Dan. Yeah. Dan's the guy with the glasses in the middle, and he's yeah, it's it's funny, isn't it? Because yeah, like you say, he's gone onto a show which I think is mistitled. It's called That Pedal Show, but it's a guitar and gears show, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's not just about pedals. It's about amps. It's about guitars. It's about the whole shebang, should we say. It's about the whole thing about being a guitarist, isn't it? So it is kind of mistitled, but it was great. And I totally get what he means about cranking up the amps and how many times you get to really crank up an amp, unless you're doing a festival. I don't know about you, Stu, but even indoor gigs, sometimes you can't crank them up that much because you're still standing in front of the thing on.
I'm pretty sure my volume sit at about, I think they sit at about probably at 9 o'clock and one at about 10 o'clock because I run mine through a JCM 2000 triple super lead. So I've got the lead there so I can switch between the two on whether I'm taking a solo or whether I've got to pull back a little bit. But yeah, like I said, I don't usually go too loud. It's usually James, our rhythm guitarist, who gets told to turn down at sound check, and we're just sort of like pointing and laughing at him every gig because it's literally every gig. It's like, mate, can you turn down a little bit?
he needs to crack the whip and just tell him to do his bar chords and not be doing this anymore.
I know, we can't control the fella.
That was a point I really like that Noel made, actually, and I've not heard him say this before, but when he talked about Bonehead and he said the difference between Bono playing bar and him playing chord shapes, and that was really the sound. And you see Noel playing lead, but he's not really playing lead, is he? He's just doing correct me if I'm wrong, he's doing arpeggiated chords.
Yeah. He's just picking through it. Yeah. He would just open up that sound by just picking through those chords and obviously doing a little bit of lead, like if you unison bends like you used to do like during like the 90s, you know? But it was the sound. That's the Oasis sound. You know, you have the big launching guitars from Bonehead and, you know, a relatively solid bass from Gwigsy, and then you've got Noel just sort of like putting the colour over the top of it, you know?
Or the soup, as he called it.
The soup, yes. Yes, yes.
Well, that was more with the whammy, wasn't it? That was more with the whammy. He was talking about the soup with the whammy.
Yeah, well quoted. Yeah, I like that.
I thought that was funny at the end when we were jumping all over the place, but whatever. When the when they all started having a bit of a play as well, I love that when they were all just having a bit of a play at the end. And those guys, obviously, so much better guitarists than he is, and they're using the whammy bar, and they're going, wah, 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 wah. And then you can see Noel sort of just getting it back on again, and just going back to his same sort of couple of little riffs that he could do. And it was like, okay, he's in terms of technical guitar playing, he's clearly out of his league here with these boys. But, you know, they never wrote
the
forever.
That's the thing. He said it himself, didn't he? That he's not a lead guitar player. There was no guitar hero in Oasis. And, yeah, he's absolutely right. And Noel became it because he was the man playing the solos, wasn't he? But let's have it right. Gem is the guitar hero, if anyone's the guitar hero in Oasis. And probably Andy Bell as well, you know, compared to Noel. But... yeah, it's a weird dynamic, the whole thing, isn't it? Just the way it all came about. But
I have this conversation like we're on our usual late night trips back to Somerset after a gig, and me and Aaron were sort of like, well, you know, either pick our gig apart or generally talk Oasis on the way home. And
those conversations are had in those trips home, Stu. Come on,
I know. And like, you know, we always talk about that sort of stuff. You know, it's great to sort of pick the bones of it. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
Are you not sick of it though? But for both of you, are you not just like? I mean, I wondered if I would get sick of Oasis listening to, you know, doing this podcast, and because I'm not, to be honest, I'm not someone that like just listens to Oasis all the time. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people, like when people are sharing their Spotify figures. And they're like, oh, they listen to Oasis like literally average 4 hours a day and things. I'm like, Jesus, like, honestly, I don't really. Like, I'll do a big re-listen if there's something coming up, and or if I'm like, you know, if there's a particular, sort of, I'm just going to stick Oasis on, shuffle or whatever in the car. But I'm not like hammer Oasis all the time sort of person. And yet, I find it funny that I haven't got sick of them doing this, even though I've been doing this for God, how many years now? Six, seven years. But I haven't got sick of talking about them. I think so just try and mix it up, you know, and just don't have the same sort of thing over and over again. And we try and take it to different angles and interviews and stuff. So I'm not sick of it yet. It makes me think of, I don't know if you ever saw the film Super Size Me, where the guy had to eat McDonald's every meal. And he said, interestingly enough, at the end of the month, he wasn't sick of it. He was happily, he'd go back to McDonald's straight away. And I think that's the thing, it's sort of, when you do just like mainline Oasis, like I don't get sick of it then. You probably like go over a threshold and sort of if I listen to a bit of it, I get sick of it. But then once you just push through, just keep going. But I mean, like you're saying there, Stu, you don't get sick from you when you're having discussions in the van, you're still talking about them.
Because they're a huge part of my life. I mean, the whole reason why I picked up a guitar in the first place was because of Noel Gallagher. There is no ifs or buts about that. I mean, yeah, there were other guitar heroes. I listened to lots of different music. I mean, anything from like Black Sabbath, Guns N' Roses. I love all that rock stuff. Anything that's probably guitar bass, I will probably like. But Noel made it so you could do it. Yeah. You know, it was like I remember one of the very first solos or proper solos that I ever learned was the Live Forever solo. I picked that to bits, you know, trying to make it sure it was right. And I remember there was one bit, you know, on that part when it comes in on the E minor chord where like he does that rundown. I remember playing that wrong for about 2 years when I started playing. And then I remember seeing a live footage of them playing, I think it was in Scotland. It was like, I can't remember exactly where it was, but I remember him seeing come right up to like, you know, that I think it was what fret would it be on the 17th fret and like running down from there. And then I worked that out from that, you know, it was kind of from like, if it wasn't for Noel, I wouldn't be playing guitar. It's as simple as that. You know, that's kind of the way that it is. And then I guess from listening to Oasis, it kind of opened up so many doors to loads of other different stuff. You know, I've got quite an eclectic, you know, mix of stuff which I like. I like anything from 90s Britpop all the way up to like listening to stuff like Metallica. You know, so but then it opened the door for me because, you know, once you've done that and you kind of not get bored of it, but you kind of want to push yourself to go do other things as well as, do you know what I mean? So, Noel's the foundation, man. You know, he's the reason why I play, you know, so.
I totally relate to that, Stu. I think I'd picked up a guitar because of the Beatles initially, but that was probably about 6 months before Definitely Maybe came out, something like that. And then when Oasis came about, it just went like that. You know, it just went through the roof. But as you say, you then find out all the bands from there, don't you? You know, who's this guy, Paul Weller? Oh, he was in this band and he was in this band. And then you hear about this guy, Johnny Marr, and he was in this band. And it all just snowballs after that, doesn't it? You hear about Ocean Colosseum and who they were into.
Yeah.
And obviously Paul Weller comes up again.
Yeah.
You know, obviously going back to the Beatles, and then it just goes out from there.
But that's the other thing as well. It's like coming back and starting this tribute band. I mean, we've been out and doing gigs with a Smiths tribute band, the Smiths LTD. They're amazing. And I've got to be honest. When someone used to say to me, "Oh, do you listen to the Smiths?" I was like, not really. You know, it was actually not until I sat and watched these guys in the wings, and I watched the guy who was playing Johnny Marr, Alex.
Yeah,
and he's unbelievable. Yeah. Like,
you've got to be Johnny Marr, to be fair.
Honestly, I was just absolute awe. I was thinking, But this guy is just, he's just so like the way Johnny Marr plays is just so unique.
Yeah.
At the time, no one else was doing that. And like I said, I only not recently found this out, but certainly like in the last few years, I've actually really warmed to the Smiths and like how Johnny Marr would be playing. And you think, wow, this guy's incredible. Absolutely incredible. But like, you know.
You're talking about fake Johnny Marr the same way Noel talks about real Johnny Marr.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to see Johnny Marr in Wrexham in August, and we're hoping all five of us in our band can get a picture with him because we're going to the sound check beforehand. So we just see that as a massive social media opportunity because we can just introduce him as the new member of the band.
That would be cool.
The other place in August.
The other big interview that's come out, I don't know if you guys heard it, is the track by track that Noel did with Radio X, John Kennedy.
Yes.
On the new album.
Do you know what? I saw that randomly the other day and I didn't even know it existed. It just came up on YouTube and I was watching it on telly. That was fascinating.
I haven't seen it. I'll be honest, I haven't seen it yet.
honestly, we'll send you a link. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I'd love to.
That was really interesting, and that's what I want. You know, we do the like on the podcast. I do like the A to Z of the Oasis songs every now and then, and we're getting through them. But there's certain songs that just Noel has never talked about. He's never been interviewed about, and they just never come up. You know, and I just wish that, you know, like he's done that track by track for the album. There's so many songs he's just never talked about. So that was really great to get like the origin story of a lot of those songs. You know, he sort of talks about this one in particular, like I was trying to do a Bowie sort of thing in the chorus. And then so there's a marimba following the melody and you go like, oh, great. You know, it's sort of, I love those little nuggets. And what was it that There She Blows was written?
There She Blows. I was just going to say, well, There She Blows. Go on. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, that was fantastic. It was written like he was in America where weed is legal. And he's gone off and deliberately got this sort of this special weed that's good for creative. And he's gone and so that was just brilliant because I love the little stories like that. And so often Noel can just go into his, well, you know, you just open yourself to the universe and the song drops in and think, oh, come on. Like, no, don't. I've heard that enough times now. Yeah, that record's kind of broken.
Well, he came up with a different version of that for the pedal show. Did you hear it about the fishing? Like you can just see a fisherman, just the life of a fisherman where you're just sitting at the lake, you're sitting at a pond or whatever. And you're just waiting for the big one to come. And some days it doesn't come. Some days it does. You might get a little one here and there. But he's just changed it. So now it's a fisherman thing rather than, you know, picking them out of the air. Rather than picking them out of the air, he's picking them out of a pond instead now. So he's changed that up a little bit, I suppose.
Weed is legal. Right, over there. And they have these shops, right? It's called MedMen, right? So you can go and buy it's very... It's almost worth moving to California for, and so I'm there for a week or 10 days, whatever it was, and I'm working on this thing with Dave Sardi, and then I'm coming back to the hotel at night, and I've got a guitar, obviously, and I've been to MedMen, and now I didn't know this, but you could get specific kind of highs in the. It's like a science now, right? And you go in these shops and I just thought you could just get high, right? And you go in these shops and they say, so what kind of high are you looking for, sir? And I'm like, well, how many are there? You know, and they're like, do you want a spiritual one? Or like a sexual one? Or would you like, and they're like, do you want a creative one? Give me some of that. This is no word of a lie. This is weird. Go back to the hotel with this weed, some... creative, you know. I'm like, and I'm, you know, a cynic. I'm just like, just want to eat loads of crisps and watch the telly and laugh. Right. And so I start writing this song, right? And the lyrics are all about some nautical nonsense, right? Like it's a guy who's a commander of a ship who's chasing looking the seven seas for some girl, and then like. Like movie. This is outrageous.
But you're right, he does. He seems to go. I think we've all listened to numerous Noel interviews, where especially with each tour, and he's doing all his promo, and he talks about the same thing, and he almost does them word for word, doesn't he?
Mm.
You know, when he's talking about one thing, it's this, it's that, and you're like, oh, here it comes. There's this story again, and let's see if he changes it up. No, it's pretty much word for word. And I get it. How many did he do with these promo tours, and how many interviews? I get it. Yeah, I get why it happens. They just fall into
just broken record thing.
Yeah,
broken record thing. But like on the pedal show, like you could see, like he was really enjoying it. Like you could fully see how much he was enjoying it because it's not necessarily something he always does.
Yeah.
So like to see him plug in his old amplifiers and stuff, you could see it was proper nostalgic for him. Like it was, you could see it. And like I said, I mean, it's great to see because like you said, all you hear is the same old sound bites over and over from the same interviews. Whereas like you got a little bit more, like, you know, and then like you said, there was other things in the interview which you kind of thought, oh, right, I didn't know that. For instance, like one thing I could just pick up the top of the Black Les Paul, like the intro to Morning Glory, that was done on that one. Oh, that's amazing. Like I always wanted to know what guitar he would have been using for that, you know, so...
Yeah, that was the one that Queen is Dead was written on, wasn't it? Johnny Marr's Black Les Paul. But and then he butchered it by changing the pickup and putting a switch in or something.
Yeah,
it is amazing. I loved all the little stories and just going back to how relaxed Noel was. I think obviously, like we said, he's in his own recording studio. He's getting asked questions that he doesn't get asked by journalists. These aren't journalists. These are guitar guys who are asking geeky guitar questions, and that's what we as fans have wanted. Whether you're like you, James, if you're not a guitarist or musician or whatever, but they're more interesting than just the normal stories that you hear when it's just two guys sitting in a radio studio. You know, it's how's Liam and when are you getting back together and And then you get the old thing of, oh, he just needs to call me and, you know, I'm up for a conversation. Then those lines start coming out. That's what we've heard, haven't we, the last couple of months?
Yeah.
But he didn't, you know, there was no mention of Liam. And when Liam was mentioned, it was because Noel mentioned him and talking about Oasis and whatever else. And it was a lot more organic, which I liked. And he's not kind of backed into a corner of Oasis. And he was just talking, you know, he was just dead relaxed and... I just thought it was fascinating. I was just delighted to get 2 hours of it, to be honest, nearly 2 hours.
Yeah.
I did just think this is going to be 25 minutes or 30 minutes. This is going to be
going
to be one of those amazing things on the horizon, and then it's going to be a letdown because it could be a 5-hour opus of an episode. Do you know what I mean? It could be like extended Lord of the Rings or something like that. But yeah, I was just made up that we got so much from it.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
I like the fact that he's bigged up Paul Stacey so much. That's fantastic. Oh, yeah.
Didn't shut up about him, did he?
Yeah. No. And also on the Radio X one, he's you know, I think he has obviously he's done so much over the years. And I don't think he's probably like the unsung hero of Oasis and Noel Live. Mm. Yeah, I thought he's he's such an unsung hero of the Oasis sound. Yeah. And actually even more so, I think, than I thought. I always thought he was important, but I've even, you know, he'll run like when Noel's demoing songs, he'll run them by Paul and Paul will be helping him to stretch. I never knew it was to that extent. And it sounds like he really is like the unsung hero.
Mm. Yeah, I think he's kind of like, he's like Phil Smith and Mark Coyle, isn't he? He's part of the inner circle. You know, he's one of those that will, and if you know about Noel and about Oasis, you know that these group of people are all kind of intrinsic to what has made them who they are, you know? I'm amazed at how much and obviously Paul Stacey as you said, but also Jeremy Stacey's been used loads even over the last few years when he hasn't been technically Noel's drummer, certainly live, you know, when Sharrock's come in. Jeremy Stacey's still been on, you know, he's on loads of the EPs.
Yeah.
He's on this album as well as Sharrock. And yeah, I didn't think he used them at all because Jeremy Stacey does loads of things with King Crimson and all sorts of bits and pieces. So he obviously he's still in the loop, he's still in the inner circle, as I say. But the credits are fascinating on the album as well. I know we're here to talk about the pedal show, but just reading the credits on the album itself to see who's on, who's involved, you know, with Ross and Jess and Sharrock and things. I think that's brilliant that they're all involved. It feels like more of a band now rather than it just being Noel and then his band of merry men go out on tour. Do you know what I mean? So it's, I think that's really nice because they're all get royalties now off these albums and off the EPs and stuff, aren't they? So I think that's really nice.
Did I pick up right that Paul Stacey does most of the guitar solos on like his solo records?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. On virtually, he's on all of them.
Well, Riverman's got to be one of my favourites. Like, sorry, on that one, that's decent. I really, really like that one. The way it's just laid out, it's really cool. I really
talks about Riverman on the Radio X track by tracker thing, doesn't he, James? Where he still thinks that's his best solo song, which I'm surprised he doesn't play it. If that is the case, he hasn't played it for years. So it's but yeah, that's a Paul Stacey solo. And he just said that. Well, that's another one in the Radio X interview that he talks about trying to get Dave Gilmour in to do a guitar solo for one of them, and he just hands it to Paul Stacey because Dave Gilmour can't get involved, and just says, "Right, go and be Dave Gilmour on this song for me." So he does. Can't remember, can you remember what song that was, James. I can't remember
easy
which
now.
One it was.
It was Easy Now.
That was Easy Now. Yes, it was. Yeah. There you go. See,
I happen to have Dave Gilmour's phone number, right? So I call Dave Gilmour and I'm like, mate, I don't like this track, and you know, it sounds a bit like Pink Floyd, if I might be as bold as to say that. And he's like, oh really? And I was like, yeah. And I was wondering, would you play the guitar solo on it for us? And he was like, you know, and he hummed and hawed a bit, and he was like, well, send me the track. So I sent him the track, and then a few weeks went past, and I was like, can I call him again? And I was like, a bit of a, I thought, fuck it, I have to call him. So I was like, yes, mate. And guitar solo. And he's like, what? And he, you know, started off by saying, I really like the track. I think it's one of the best things you've ever done. He said, but, you know, we were still in the lockdown-ish kind of thing. I was not back to normal. He said he was out in wherever he lives. And he's like, you know, I don't really have the time, and I'm out in the country and da-da-da and all that kind of thing. And I was like, okay, well, thanks, I still love you and all that. And I go to the studio and say to my engineer, co-producer, Strange Boy Stacey, who's a brilliant guitarist, I was like, today, you are going to be Dave Gilmour. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, so we set up the gear, like what he would use. And I was like, give me Comfortably Numb, Bad Boy. And we got there. And he was, you know, it's one of those great uplifting kind of guitar solos. It's something I would never come up with.
And then on the other one.
I love that solo. Love that solo.
Yeah, that's a really... When he started saying about, well, it's Dave... I called Dave Gilmour. I thought, wait, Dave Gilmour's not on it. I don't remember. Is this going to be an exclusive? And then it's like, but Dave Gilmour couldn't do it. So we got Strange Boy to do a Gilmour impression. And then there's the other one, isn't it, where he's trying to get the sort of the real Robert Fripp kind of Bowie sound. And so he goes, he gives that to Stace Boy. Go on, do Robert Fripp Bowie here now, please. Like, okay. But he's good enough. He can do it, you know? What a bloody legend he is. Oh, dear. But any other particular takeaways, Stu, from the pedal show?
I loved the fact that I didn't know he used a WEM and a valve state at the same time. That was just like completely over my head. I thought it was just literally just like a straight Marshall, like, but like to actually hear the WEM and the valve state blended together was just like, that's monstrous. Mm. That was so cool. Really, really cool. But like I said, I mean, it's just, the one thing which was kind of like, not, it wasn't disappointing as such, just slightly, but it was just, I wish he went a little bit more in depth with his pedals a little bit more, just a little bit, you know? But it was cool to see. It was cool to see all the amps set up, and like, you know, him getting out that what was it? The AC30 from the cabin. That was cool.
The Donnelback and Anger amp.
Yeah, and then him getting out that Strat as well. You know, because I knew it was always playing the Strat, but again, to see the Strat which it was played on, it was just like, oh, that's cool. That's seriously cool. I mean, like I say, I mean, it was. I got to be honest, I was. For me personally, I was more interested in the amplifiers which he was using. Like I said, I know going back to the WEM and the valve state and all that other stuff, and like hearing that being blended together was really, really cool. And you know, and it, I guess, like, I think, like, going on to like his, I mean, this is the thing, is like with his pedals which he's got nowadays, like, I don't really pay much more attention to. I don't know whether you've got any sort of similar pedals which you would use live, which he's got at the moment.
I've actually redone my board today because we're due to play a festival on Saturday and the stage is massive. So I've moved everything over to this pedal board that I built in lockdown. And I just went totally overboard and went, right, I'm going to design it completely on what Noel's board looks like. I also built an amp flight case for my Fender Blues Junior as well during lockdown.
Nice.
That's how much time I had. So I thought, right, I'm going to invest some time in the band here.
Yeah.
In terms of pedals, it's all similar sounding stuff, but it's very rarely stuff that obviously Noel's got, because it's either ancient, you know, blooming antique pedals that are like from the 60s or 70s and worth thousands.
What
or just ones that aren't made anymore.
What's the name of the amplifier he's using again at the moment?
So he's using a custom high watt 50.
That's it, high watt. Yeah, I just couldn't think of the name. Have you got those running at the moment?
No, have you seen the price of them?
Not got a cheaper version.
One of them alone is 1,800 quid, I think. Just one of them. And he's got at least two of them on stage. No, I've got a Fender Blues Junior, which is them alone are like 500 quid, but that is loud enough. Trust me, that's all I need. Absolutely brilliant. It's really compact. I just sit it on top of the flight case, and it does everything I need. It's brilliant. But in terms of the pedals, I think the only one I've got that's exactly the same as Noel's is either the Chromatic Tuner, which is about 60, 70 quid. Or the tremolo, the Boss tremolo. That's
pretty much
it. I've got a Tube Screamer, but the Tube Screamer wasn't on the pedal show, was it? He didn't have it.
I'm sure he has had a Tube Screamer in the past.
Yeah, he's definitely had it before. Definitely in the last, you know, since going solo, he has, because I've seen his pedal boards before and he's had a Tube Screamer on there. But I'm after a Kingsley Page Tube Boost now. But they're about 300 quid if you can find them. So I'm going to be hunting one of them down, but yeah, I've just got I've got a little delay there which does the trick. I've got a chorus pedal if I need it. The tremolo, as he said in the interview, is only used for little by little, so that's the one song it gets used on. And that's pretty much it, if I'm honest. And then it's just cranking the amp up a bit, but the Fender Blues Tune is so powerful that you can't really go over two or three on it because it's just ridiculous. It's so powerful. And then if you go up to the Deluxe, the Hot Rods and all them, they're even worse or even better, whichever way you want to look at it. But they are the fantastic pieces of equipment. But I definitely want the Keeley compressor now. Now that I know that that's one that you can actually buy at this moment in time from just a guitar shop online, then that's one of the ones I'm getting. So I'll definitely be adding that soon. What about...
Sorry, so I was going to say, one of the things that they said on the interview was that when he's in Oasis, he went through two amps. His guitar went through two amps at the same time. I'm thinking, well, it's only got one lead, so how can it go through two amps? But yeah, what was that all about then?
Yeah, the Vox through the Marshall, there's something about it that I'm not articulate enough about what happens when you marry the two together, other than you plug it in and you go, fuck off. Just stand back. Get out of the way. I'm about to play E minor.
But there's a whole bunch of harmonics and stuff, and you get the jangly of the strings, especially on the Strat there, but also on the Epiphone. And yet there's loads of overdrive, and that just doesn't happen at low volume.
No,
I don't think it happens.
No, and you got, and I, at that point, I'd mastered the art of playing a semi-hollowed guitar at loud volume.
That's tough.
It is, and I'd managed to work it, and throw the odd backing vocal in as well. So I do miss that sometimes, because now I kind of sit strum and I'm thinking about, you know, the words and all that. And I do think my guitar playing, that what it was, it wasn't technically proficient and all this. But when I see people do the Oasis thing, I was like, it sounds all right, but it doesn't sound like, it's not the real deal.
No.
And the real deal
is a hollow body guitar, but being in the right position where it's just about to get out of control, but you can still keep it in line and pick out the subtleties of the notes and that. And I got really, really good at that.
There's in there a special unit which you can get to run off two amplifiers at the same time. I can't exactly remember the name of the unit though.
Okay.
But yeah, you can get a unit which can then run two at the same time, and then you can blend them together.
Right.
So this is one that I use on my pedal board. Can you see that screen?
There you go.
So this one, James, this one basically lets, so for any, obviously, because this is going to be on Spotify and whatever, for those who can't see what we're talking about, I've got a Fender ABY pedal, which allows me to plug two guitars in, and I can either use both guitars, not that I've got that many arms to use both guitars, but I can switch between the A and the B, but you can also use it the other way around with the pedals.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have one or the other, or both.
See, this is something that my rhythm guitarist has, and I'm thinking, why have you got that?
why don't? Because he's more switched on with his gear. Apparently, you said it yourself.
Well, obviously so. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not. I'm not a massive gearhead. I've got to be honest. I'm not.
Me neither.
But that's not through the fact that I don't want to. It's the fact that I literally have got everything that I need.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm just adding, I'm just spending money for the sake of spending money on pedals, which I probably won't need at the moment.
Well, do you know what, though? You've got more of a scope, I suppose, because you're going from, what, 93 to 2009. I assume you obviously don't do any of the solo stuff. So
yeah,
you've got all that, and all the stuff that they've done in that period of time, there's a lot of equipment. You've got your Orange amps, you've got your Marshalls, your boxes, whatever else.
Yeah.
And then all the pedals combinations that come with it, as well as all the guitars, of course. Because Noel hasn't really used that many guitars since going.
No, that's the thing, is that, like, I think, like, over the years, I've collected, like, for instance, you've got the obvious ones, like your Union Jack and everything like that. And I picked up a Pink Paisley Telecaster as well.
Yes.
That's
the one guitar I want that Noel doesn't play now. That's the one that I want.
But that's we call that the Wonderwall guitar, because it only comes out for that song.
did he use it for Go Let It Out as well? I had this conversation.
We haven't got that in the set at the moment. And I know that our bassist has been pushing for that for like the last couple of years. It's like, we'll do it. We never get around to doing it.
Get in the set just so you can have the Paisley played again. That would be my advice.
I can then use it for two songs. That would be amazing. Yes.
Brilliant. That's a lovely guitar, that.
Yeah, it's a Japanese Telecaster. It was really strange. It was like, I mean, I live in the depths of nowhere anyway. So, like, it turned up in one of my local guitar shops, and it was just like, the guy sent me this link. It's like, Stu, you need to go down there and just get it, because another one probably won't come about. And I was just like, I don't know if I can justify £1,000 for one song. Do you know what I mean? You know, however.
You amateur.
However, my arm did get twisted, and a few guitars.
By yourself.
It was actually by myself. I do lie a little bit, but a few guitars did get traded in for it. So, but that guitar's ace. So I want, like I said, I want to get that in for a few more songs at the moment. But I got two Les Pauls behind me. I've got like Old Faithful, which is there, and I've got this new one here, which is a 50s heritage one, which has kind of come out on the road for me for like the last few gigs and stuff. And the old bird stayed at home for a little bit, sort of thing. But I brought it back up for the extra gig last weekend, so I was just like, stuff it, we'll take them all. Why not, you know?
James, I just wanted to pick up on something we were talking about before, about... Are we sick of Oasis and sick of listening to them? I'll be honest, I don't listen to Oasis much nowadays anyway. And that's not because, obviously, I don't like them, because that's obviously I do. You know, they've been my favourite band for the last 25, 30 years. So I think it's just one of those things that when you're playing them, Stu, I don't know if you agree with this, but when you play them so often, you kind of don't need to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
But also... when you do, it kind of feels more fresh. Mm-hmm. Because I haven't... to give you an example, when the 25th anniversary of Morning Glory came out, which was, 2020, wasn't it? It was during lockdown and all that, wasn't it? And we got all the new LPs started coming out, all the vinyls and things. So we've got the silver vinyl. And I actually listened to Morning Glory from track 1 to track 12 for the first time in God knows how long. And you know what? It's actually a really good album. Should give it a listen. I was a bit like, fucking hell, these will go far. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the only time I do listen to them is when there's anniversaries.
Yeah.
So if you follow us on our Facebook and Instagram, little plug, I always do something for the anniversaries of the singles, of the albums, and, you know, birthdays and all that as well. So when it's the anniversary of Heathen Chemistry, say, on the 1st of July, I'll listen to Heathen Chemistry that day. We've got a gig in Blackpool that night, so I'll listen to Heathen Chemistry on the way to the gig. And that'll be the one time I probably listen to Heathen Chemistry in a 12-month cycle. And that you're kind of rediscovering an album and just going, oh, I really love this song, and I love that bit there. I love that guitar solo and that little bit of bass and things. And it's nice. You kind of appreciate it more because, for me, I absolutely saturated it when those albums came out. You know, especially Heathen Chemistry for me as a particularly special place because I saw them on that tour 5 times and I just love that album. It, you know, really does hold a special place for me. And that group of songs, all the B-sides, all that kind of thing, I absolutely love it. So that's why we do Stop Crying Your Heart Out Little by Little every single gig, regardless. So when Noel had to Stop Crying Your Heart Out about 4 years ago to his set, kind of at the end of the Who Built the Moon tour, I was like, right, that's going in. Absolutely no problem at all. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you've made a podcast out of it for the last 5 years or whatever, James. But yeah, for me, Stu, I think it's just that you can talk. There's just endless conversations about Oasis, isn't it? Endless. Yeah. Absolutely endless. And it's great to talk about, you know, what Noel's doing now, what Liam's doing. Bonehead joining Liam and all these other bits and pieces. It's just a whole legend and mythos around them, isn't it? You know what I mean? And it just keeps you going. I don't know any other band that's... I mean, people who are older than us probably might say that about Led Zeppelin or about the Beatles and stuff, but yeah, for me, that's exactly what Oasis are. It's down to the nitty-gritty. Who Liam's getting married to now and all that kind of stuff. It all... is part of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm not bored of it. I think if I was to listen to them right now, I'd be more obliged to go listen to a more alive gig.
Yeah.
Like, I just find that you hear the songs in a different light rather than the album.
They evolve, don't they? The songs evolve. They get recorded in that moment, and then once they go out on tour, once they become a live thing, they become the audience's property, don't they? Noel said it himself, they're not his songs anymore. And the song just evolves, doesn't it? You know, solos change, guitars change every tour. What he uses is different vocal, you know, phrasing of the vocals change or bits get added and stuff like that. It's, it's a constantly live and evolving thing. That's what I love about them. And it probably makes it more fresh going back. When you hear the original version of Wonderwall and you go, oh, yeah, it's in that key, isn't it? It's in a different key to what I you know, we always play it in capo third because that's what Noel's done for God knows how long. What do you guys do? Do you do it in second still? On Wonderwall. Do you
on Wonderwall? It's always been second fret. Yeah. Capo second. Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose if you're not singing it and you're Liam singing it, then you're always going to do it in second, aren't you?
Yeah. But we had a band practice the other day. The one who happens once a year. We had a piano player turn up, which we're actually going to start using at some of more of our local gigs soon.
Oh, we've got the piano
stand all built up and everything like that. So we're going to start bringing that to gigs as well. And it just
having it all that, painted off.
Yeah. It's all painted amazing. Up.
That was my third project during lockdown, and I never had the time to get to it in the end. But that was the third thing I wanted to do.
We've had it in someone's shed for probably the best part of about 6 years. But the thing is that we built it, and then we realised that it doesn't fit in the back of the van properly. So we built this thing, and it only comes out at our local shows when we like play Yeovil or something like that. So we go, oh, stuff, we'll just get the piano stand. But we actually had someone turn up, we had a band rehearsal with the keyboard player, and we thought, wow, like, how it fills it up now. Do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable, really. Like, obviously not for every single song, because like you can get a little bit cabaret, can't it? Do you know what I mean? You know, if having the keyboard player, they're like jamming away. But yeah, like,
see, that's an excuse for Go Let It Out now as well. Get the Paisley out. That's get all your organs going.
Yeah.
There you go. I've just got it. Go Let It Out back in your set now. There you go. You're welcome.
Like, just having that hammer organ there as well. Like, for instance, like we try and add in the you know, at the end of Cigarettes and Alcohol, when they do the Whole Lot of Love thing. So yeah, we do that at the end of Cigarettes and Alcohol, and he started putting the hammer organ at the end of it, and it sounded mega. I was just like, why have we not done this earlier? Do you know what I mean? But then, like I said, we always struggle to find time to try and get our little bit of practice in, but we did the other day, so, you know, it's all good.
Do you know what? I'm glad you've mentioned Cigarettes and Alcohol there, actually, because we did ironically, in Blackpool, where we're playing next week, the same venue. Last time we played there, we did it with the Liam Gallagher tribute band as well. So they were up before us. Then we did our thing. And then there, Liam joined us on stage for the encore. Wow. So we did Cigarettes and Alcohol, because I've always wanted to do that particular version of Cigarettes and Alcohol from Wembley.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we did, you know, did the big intro at the beginning, the Tomorrow Never Knows intro, then obviously Cigarettes and Alcohol itself, and then the big Whole Lot of Love ending with the...
Yeah.
With
the crazy
keys.
Proper hammer organ.
Absolutely superb. Our keyboard player loves that. He absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. But yeah, like, you got to get Go Let It Out in. Just bring the Paisley out and get the organ on it.
Absolutely. There is no excuse. There is absolutely no excuse whatsoever. It's like I said, it's we've got him lined up for a few shows, so I'm sure that we'll try and get something in, 100%.
And you need to make sure that stand is one that you can fold down as well. That's in my head, I'm like, right, I'm going to have to design this so I can fold it down into a case and then make a case for it as well.
Yeah. You don't make the same mistake we did by making it too big so it now no longer fits in the van. So,
and, well, this is the problem with my pedal board. I only use it for a few gigs a year because it's that big. It takes up the whole back seat of my car, which is pathetic. You know what I mean? So we're playing on a massive stage on Friday at the Sausage and Cider Festival in Derbyshire. So
awesome.
I'm going to be using that. I'm just like, I don't care. I'm going all out and all on this gig. I've got my mic stand in the middle of it. Yeah, so I'll share some pictures and you'll see all the story on Friday.
Good stuff.
That's fantastic. So have you guys never crossed paths then over the years?
No, I don't think we have.
It doesn't really happen with Oasis tributes because you're always just kind of dotted around. As Stu said, you know, you get, you know, Smith tributes and, you know, you get Stone Roses tributes and all that kind of thing. We've got a Liam tribute that we work with and a Weller tribute as well that we're doing a couple of gigs with. But even if it's a festival, you know, you guys might be doing the Friday and we might be doing the Sunday or something like that.
Yeah,
you're not on the... Understandably, you know, if you're kind of half and half the same band, they're not going to have you on the same stage on the same day, really. So the festival we're playing on Friday, there's an Oasis tribute there, I think, and I think they're on the Sunday. I think so. Yeah, it very rarely, well, if I've never heard of it happening where that's been the case, unless you're going for something particular, you know, a proper Oasis night where you've got a Liam tribute, an old tribute, and an Oasis tribute, which is a bit of overkill if you ask me. But
yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Well,
it would be for me.
it's something that I've thought about doing. I'd love to do, you know, we did a few live events and I'd love to do that to the next level and do it. Like, I noticed there was a Bowie kind of weekender on, like, in friend of the podcast, Jeff Slate, was playing in it, because he sort of plays with old Slick's band. There's a lot of Bowie stuff. And I'd love to do that, like an Oasis Weekender. So you start off, like, you get getting a few people connected to them, like get the real people down, and maybe get, you know, like people that have worked with Boned or like Alex Lipinski, people like that. Like, they've connected to Oasis in some way, but then also have, you know, have you guys have, you know, some different Oasis tributes. And, you know, I think it'd be a, yeah, I suppose you don't want to hear like exactly the same set every time, do you? So you'd need to sort of,
yeah, you don't want to hear three versions of Wonderwall from, you know, one from each set, do you? It's it is overkill. But I don't know, James, I remember you talking before COVID about you were looking at doing something at the Zanzibar or the Cavern, weren't you?
In
never really happened, did it?
No, that's right. Yeah, I mean, as a sort of after the we did the Water Rats, and that went really well with Tony McCarroll. And I did a Water Rats with Alan McGee, and that went well. And then I did a Glasgow with Tony. I did a two more with McGee. And it just that the sort of is sort of diminishing returns, to be honest. And it was like, and so we looked at Liverpool. We looked at a couple of other places. I looked at Nebworth, actually, like playing in, but playing like in the grounds of Nebworth. But, you know, there's like a little venue, like there's a little pub on the grounds of Nebworth that you can hold like 200 or whatever. I thought, oh, we could play Nebworth.
That'd be cool.
But then, to be honest, COVID kind of kept, you know, laid that to rest. And then I did look at one in Manchester maybe a year or so ago. And unless you're going to get, as I said, Tony McCarroll, he stopped doing them now. You know, who else is there that's willing to go out on the circuit, talk, that people are going to be willing to come out and pay and watch? And I lined up kind of Debbie Ellis, you know, from Sister Lovers, and who was there that night, and Sharon Lathan, Noel's photographer, big Shaz. Yeah. And I thought that'd be cool because Debbie's a photographer as well, and you could have like it just didn't sell. Like, it sold, I announced it, sold hardly any tickets, and then that was Manchester. And I just thought, you know what, it's just not, I don't know, I think it was still a bit early days of COVID. So I think we'll just have to see, to be honest. We'll have to see.
Obviously, James, did you think about getting hold of Clint Boone?
You know what? It's Clint Boone is someone that I've had various people have said over the years, oh, yeah, no, I know Clint. And I've dropped him a couple of emails over the years. And I've just never heard from him. So, you know what I mean? Enough. I don't know if he's just like, because they always have that thing with it's the sort of unofficial Oasis podcast. You know, it's like, you know, with people that are mates with them, you know, sometimes there's a bit of friction there. Should they come on and do something that's kind of unofficial?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know whether it's that or not, or if he's just super busy. But I mean, to be honest, and I don't tend to chase people. Like, I've probably emailed him twice and never heard back. So I thought, oh, sod it. Like, you know, now we've had a chat about it, because you've had him out with you, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, we've been on sort of like, obviously, we're riding off the coattails of the Clone Roses, because they've been putting on like these monster gigs, like, for instance, like Spike Island, for instance. You know,
did you do that one the other week, Stu? Was that you guys? Was it?
We done Heaton Park the other week.
Oh, the Heaton Park one, yeah.
Yeah, we done Heaton Park the other week. That was good, except for my Jack Lee decided to pack up in front of it, in front of 8,000 people. But that's another story. We got it fixed in the end.
Oh, what?
But it's okay. It all got fixed relatively quickly. It felt like an absolute lifetime, but it got fixed. we've met Clint lots of times. He's a lovely bloke. And like there was one particular time we were playing Warrington Par Hall. And I sort of like I couldn't find a toilet. I was like, I need to go find this bloody toilet, and it ends up bursting into his dressing room and not knowing he was there, and come back out. He's like, oh, you're right, mate. I said, oh, so sorry, Clint. I said, I need to find a toilet, but I gotta go and sit. And I ended up chatting for him for like an hour. He's the nicest bloke you ever meet. And he was just sort of like, the problem is like when you're in that sort of setting, that kind of like half professional setting, you don't want to bombard him with, oh, what's Noel like? What's Liam like? What's it? You find it's a little bit too intrusive. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, we're talking music, but he's the nicest bloke, honestly. He's top guy, really, really nice. And he does really, he does all these DJ sets in between the tribute band, tribute bands when we play. He's class. He's a really, really nice guy.
Yeah. No, he's, I'm sure he is. And he's done other stuff. Like he's done, like, you know, when I'd done a few of those interviews, like through, if you go through a company and he'll do like, he will do the interview with Alan McGee or whatever, like, and it's him doing the questions. It's like, well, he's as, you know, as interesting to hear talk as anyone really, because he's done so much in the bands and obviously all the media stuff he's done. But yeah, that's cool. And then obviously you guys have done quite a bit with like Phil Smith as well, haven't you?
Yeah. We there was one particular gig. I think it was Islington 02. Yeah, London. That was a little while ago. That was when we done the Definitely Maybe tour. I actually got that black Les Paul made up for that tour as well. I sold it now. So it's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But no, he's a lovely guy too. We saw him.
Yeah, yes. I've met him. He's a lovely bloke.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. And then we met him again what was it, Butland's 90s Weekender when we played that. I think it was last year.
Was that the Shine? Was that Shine On?
Shine On, yes, that's it. Yeah, Shine On Weekend. On. Yeah.
See, I'd love to get involved with that. I email them every year. Just we don't get anything from them.
The Clone Roses seem to play it every year. But we got asked last year and we didn't get asked back this year. But I don't know. They kind of chop and change. Like it does seem to have like a different Oasis tribute each year. I don't know. So I have no idea.
And I think they generally try to avoid tributes, is my understanding. I know they didn't used to have tributes, I don't think. And then I was quite surprised when I saw a couple of tributes turn up. So I think
the last 4 or 5 years, minus the COVID years, they've kind of welcomed them in, haven't they? Because I know one of the bands that we work with, Laid, who are a James tribute, they've done that as well. Some Sleeper and whoever else involved as well, which is brilliant, you know. So it's great that they have the tributes on as well.
Yeah, I can understand it. Same as like Water Rats, because when I booked the Water Rats for the live event, I was like, you know, oh, we'll have an Oasis tribute and then this live. And they said, no, we don't do tributes. And I understand it because it's good. It's good for the original bands. You know, it must be, I can imagine it's annoying for original bands that you guys come in and like, you know, and pack the place out. And then they come in the next day and play to three people and a dog. So I get it, and I get, like, you know, you need to support new music, and so hence, you know, that's good that they do that. But then,
well, that's been an argument as well, hasn't it? I think it was the Clone Roses that came out with a post a couple of years ago saying about how tribute playing allows live music venues to keep going and support new music, because it means they can then balance it with, right, we've got these nights that are definitely going to sell or going to sell well. And then we've got the other nights that we can take a risk on with this new music. You know, they could have 2, 3, 4 bands on. So there is that balance. And I get it that people probably think it's, because let's be honest, the tribute thing has blown up massively over the last.
Huge now, isn't it? It's so big now.
It's its own beast now. It's its own kind of industry in itself. There's so many festivals that are tribute festivals and... I get why, because there's so much money to be made. Nostalgia is what's being sold, really, isn't it? You know,
it's sad though, isn't it? Because then you just wonder the state of the music industry at the moment. Because I've been on the receiving end. Because we've all been there. We've all played in originals bands, you know, and we've all gone round and played all the toilet circuit and all this.
Right, to no one,
nowhere, you know, and. Yeah, I mean, like I said, tributes now, they're just taking a whole life of their own. And it's, but like I said, going back to my point just a second ago, it does make you think of what the state of the music industry now is, because it doesn't seem to be the forefront of these guitar bands. Like, I mean, probably the last time we had that big forefront was probably the early 2000s, when we had the Arctic Monkeys and Kasabian come out and, you know,
Killers and all that, yeah.
Shame. Absolutely. We try every gig we do try and have like an originals band come support us, sort of thing. You know, like just so that they can actually play to an audience. I mean, I don't know what it's exactly like now, because I don't play in an originals band. I don't, you know, it's I don't do it. But it does seem quite sad for him at the moment, that there doesn't seem to be much support for him at the moment. It's a bit, you know, maybe.
Noel mentioned it himself, didn't he, in the pedal show? That
yeah.
about how they're honing their sound and going from being in a tiny venue to an arena or a stadium. There's no kind of in between.
Now you're either playing in a bar or you're playing in a stadium. There is, or an arena. There's nowhere in between. Okay. Everything that's been, most of them are now shut down or they run down or turned into flats. So you're either playing, you know, quietly, you know, noodling about, or you play, and guitar music, new guitar bands don't really get to play arenas these days. But I don't know what I think about it. I think, obviously, when we were coming through, just in London alone, there was like half a dozen amazing historical venues where all the greats played. And one by one, they all kind of go to the Astoria and the Hammersmith Palais, and they all go to the Wall and the 100 Club and all that. And I guess it's just, you know, commerce now in the world dictates everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything in the music business, all the way to everything. So, yeah, I guess music is tailored. Music reflects society in some way, doesn't it? You know, I think of guitar music now as, you know, it's good looking, looks good. You know, it's like a shiny new thing. You know, but really, really, you know, wouldn't you have a battered old Rover, you know, than a brand new electric Japanese car? I mean, but maybe that's just us. I would hazard a guess it's just us.
It could be.
They do seem to jump. And I mean, Oasis did that themselves. You know, they didn't play. The likes of, let's see, the Apollo Theatre in Manchester. They didn't play the Apollo until 2001. That's somewhere that you'd normally think would be part of the up the hill.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But it just went like that, didn't it? So it was only later on, after the peak, that they were able to play those venues. Because
they kind of bypassed it all, didn't they?
They bypassed them completely. Exactly right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they still played the likes of the Astoria and Barrowlands and all that kind of thing, but they never played Manchester Apollo, which was where Noel said that's where his first gig when he went to see The Damned was in
18. Isn't it?
And that they just completely bypassed the Apollo. They went straight to the likes of the G-Mex and I'm trying to think what the other live music venues were in Manchester at the time. Well, the Boardwalk, of course, but there's like the smaller venues, the Hacienda and whatever, and then they just jumped straight up to Main Road and G-Max and, you know, the Manchester Arena. It's they completely bypassed the Apollo.
Mad to think, really, isn't it? It's just crazy how their rise just went from essentially playing like a venue like we play at the Fleece. I know that they played there, and they went from doing that in like 94, and then that was it, you know.
The following year they were playing arenas. Madness. Yeah.
My understanding is that the Definitely Maybe tour, when they were doing places like the Northampton Roadmender and Leicester Charlotte and things like that. So, but they could have, my understanding is that they could, that was already booked before they'd had that huge rise. And so they could have cancelled them all and booked like the bigger venues. But they decided, I suppose Marcus Russell move, decided to not do it, just to keep it, play at those small venues, just so there'd be queues out the door.
Yeah,
would be going mad, and it would be crazy and rammed and packed.
Because and probably to savor those moments as well. You know? Probably to savor those moments, because if you know that, right, in a couple of months we're going to be playing in arenas, let's enjoy these gigs while we're here, because this is going to, you know, it literally got silly. That himself, hasn't it? It just got ridiculous that how fast it happened. But yeah, no, I agree with that, James. That was definitely Marcus Russell. Move that. Well, probably Noel probably had something to say about it as well, didn't he? But
yeah, stroke of genius. Yeah. Well, while I've got you guys on, Matt, as the sort of person who's doing the new Noel stuff, are you sort of keeping an eye on this sort of American tour he's been doing and thinking which are the new songs? You know, how you might incorporate that?
Yeah. We've been doing Easy Now since January when it came out. So I'm made up that he's doing it, although he has dropped it from the set, which is a shame. But I think I don't know if you've looked at this tour that they're doing with Garbage in North America at the moment, but they're due to swap round next week. This weekend, the 24th. Because it's all been labelled as Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds and Garbage from the 24th, but before it's been Garbage and Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. So he's going to go from doing an hour to maybe an hour and a half. So I think that's why they've been adding all these other songs, because they're going to fill out the set with everything that they've done so far, because they didn't start with Half the World Away. They didn't start with, Mighty Quinn's come back in recently. In the Heat of the Moment has come back as well, which I was surprised to see. And Easy Now has been dropped. I've got to say, and this might be controversial, I am not a fan of Pretty Boy.
No.
I'm not a fan of it. When I heard it, I thought, yeah, it's all right. It'll grow. Let's see what it's like live. And they start the set with it.
And with that Casio keyboard.
It just doesn't do anything. There's nothing to it. It's the one song I could honestly say, and I wasn't a massive fan of Black Star Dancing, but that's still got its moments, and even Blue Moon Rising as well. Pretty Boy for me is just, it's just done nothing for me at all. It doesn't fit on the album as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a great album, but it just doesn't fit. I think he's done it because he likes this divisive thing, doesn't he? He likes getting people hating stuff and loving stuff. He loves that. And when Holy Mountain came out, I was one of those people who loved Holy Mountain as soon as I heard it. Absolutely loved it. Our keyboard player, Tom, still talks about it now. He hated it when it came out, and he absolutely loves it now. And it opens our set. It opens our set just straight off the back of the Fort Knox. We've got an edited version of Fort Knox that we come onto. And then we smash straight into Holy Mountain, and we're not going to go over to Pretty Boy. No, absolutely not. It's not going to be in our set at all. Mm-hmm. But no, to answer your question, James, no, we've been doing Easy Now since it came out, purely because we could say we're the only people who've been doing this live before the man himself. World-exclusive live performance and all this. We did Council Skies. We did that for one gig. That was in Chesterfield at the beginning of May. So we've done that. That's a really nice song to play live, actually.
Yeah,
it's got a really lovely kind of groove to it. Although it is, and I did listen to the Oasis podcast episode talking about that particular song, James. And I agree, it is like an AI version that's just like this song here, this song there, that song there. And ironically, I don't know if you mentioned this, but because when we were learning it, the chords in the verse are actually falling down, not falling is down, Shock of the Lightning.
Shock of the Lightning. Oh, right. Okay.
Same key. It's the same chord, played a little bit differently. So, Stu, if you haven't picked up on that, give Shock of the Lightning a bit of a go and just strum it a bit differently. Put it
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's exactly what's the
that? Is that the B major and B minor? Is that the two opening chords?
Yeah. So it's capo second fret and then playing like a high A, bit like Master Plan. Yeah, so you're playing it high, but just playing those two. B's and B minors. Yeah,
we used to do Shock of the Lightning. That was like in the first couple of years we used to do the tribute band, and it was like we used to love doing it. For some reason, it just kind of got ousted out. We've never played it again.
Oh. What was the reaction to the crowd for that one for you?
It was like this.
Yeah,
it was like that.
We did it when we did the show last year with the Liam tribute. That was one of the five songs that we did with him. Mm-hmm. And we started, what did we do? We did Cigarettes and Alcohol, Shock of the Lightning, Lila, which is still one of my favorite Oasis songs to this day.
Yeah.
Those two songs are very similar, though. They're in the same key, capo second fret, you know, in B.
You do the weird tune.
Acquiesce, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I love it.
And then we finished on the Oasis version of My Generation to just blow it out the water at the end. So we shouldn't have done five. We should have done maybe three because it was too much in it. We were doing it because we just got a bit a bit over the top and just enjoying playing those new songs, because their songs we'll never play again unless we get him with us again. So we were enjoying that moment of playing some songs that we hadn't, you know, we'd never played before.
Yeah.
It's the best number for your record you ever hear. I understand all the credit culture.
So what's the plans? What's next up for Oasis? You got the, you mentioned this Sausage and Cider Festival, or is that you've got the Sausage and Cider.
That's awesome. Just
every festival for you is a cider festival because you're from Somerset.
we have our, it seems like our monthly residency at the Fleece in Bristol coming up.
Nice.
Which we seem to do all the time. Not knocking it, it's a great little venue, but it's just
I've asked for gigs there as well. I'd love to play in there, Stu.
You look on your gig listings, you're like, please.
How often do you play there?
I think we counted up. I think it's something stupid, like we play it like, I think it's like 7 or 8 times in a calendar year.
Get lost.
Honestly, really? Yeah.
Oh, you need to venture out a bit more, seriously.
Well, don't get me wrong, it's like, it's just like our promoter's just like, okay, you want to get, okay, well, if it keeps selling out, then yeah, great, we can't
bluff not. You if you don't go back when it's sold out so many times,
this is no joke either. We have the Fleece in July and then we have a break and then we play the Fleece again in September.
You come back.
and then we've got our homecoming gig in Yeovil, where we're doing definitely 90s, which is going to be us, a Blur tribute band, which we're good mates with, a Manic Street Preachers tribute band, and a Stereophonics tribute band. So that's going to be a really good night. It's only literally a few tickets left for that one, so hopefully that should sell out pretty soon. Cool. And then we've kind of got we've probably got another few gigs coming up with the Clone Roses. I'm not 100% sure exactly where they're going to be. We kind of, that's when we kind of get in the van and I switch off and like, where are we, boys? Manchester. Well, okay.
I've got it here. So you're in Northwich on the 30th of September.
Yeah.
Where's Northwich? Is that?
Don't ask me.
I was going to say, that's up by you, isn't it?
It's kind of between Chester and Manchester. It's around that area.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then you've got 2 nights at the Guildhall in Gloucester. You've got Commodore.
We're doing definitely maybe one night and then Morning Glory the second night.
Oh, nice.
Morning Glory night's nearly sold out. And I think there's a handful of tickets left for the definitely maybe one, which I find is ridiculous because personally.
Yeah, I was going to say Noel would be fuming about that, wouldn't he?
I prefer personally to go to the definitely maybe night over the Morning Glory night, but that's just me. But so that one's coming up.
You know what? I love Noel's comments about where do people get off buying Morning Glory and not buying Definitely Maybe. I love that. Would you do it just to get on my nerves?
I know, yeah. I'd pick Definitely Maybe any day of the week over Morning Glory. My personal opinion.
Though, Stu, I wonder how many people are going to both.
Well, this is the thing, is that we've done 2 nights when it was the Definitely Maybe tour a few years ago, and I know for a fact there was loads of people who bought tickets for both nights and they saw exactly the same show.
Yeah.
But that's just I find that madness. But not in a good way, it's not bad. It's just like, I just find it absolutely bizarre that someone would come watch the same show 2 nights in a row, but there we go.
And what about...
It's not like you're going to see Radiohead and you're going to get a different set of 25, 30 songs each night or something, is it? With Oasis, it's going to be the same thing.
Exactly.
Maybe
yeah.
one or two songs changed if you're lucky, but it's going to be...
We may have a variation in there somewhere.
and you need to then do Be Here Now the next night. That's the one that would sell out straight away. And you know, you get your money's worth as well, to be about 3 hours long.
Well, I would do that. It's just the other boys trying to get them to get actually turn up to a band practice and actually rehearse those songs.
I'll blame the rest of the band. Typical guitarist.
All right. And Matt,
not me. I blame the drummer completely for that. In doubt, blame the drummer.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Matt, so aka Noel Gallagher, you've got the Derbyshire Sausage and Cider Festival coming up, and then a few more bits and pieces throughout the summer.
We have indeed. Yeah. We seem to be playing Yorkshire an awful lot at the moment. So not quite sure how that happened, but we went at the beginning because we've been going for 8 years and we just couldn't get any gigs in Yorkshire. And then all of a sudden we've got Huddersfield, we've got Cleckheaton, we've got Leeds, we've got York, we've got where else? Rotherham. We've got all of a sudden you're just like, oh, I'm not quite sure how this happened, but yeah, we've got loads of different gigs as well. So we do full band gigs, and I always say this when we speak to, because we did a gig on Friday in Kidderminster with a U2 tribute band before we went to Camden on Saturday. And one of the good things about Oasis and Noel is that you can scale it down. So we do the 5-piece in, you know, proper music venues, but then we can do pubs and bars, which is just me and our keyboard player, or, you know, with a smaller drum kit or something like that, just a bit of percussion. So, you know, you can proper scale it down and kind of get the name of the band out there more. So when we play those smaller gigs, those like bars and pubs and stuff, we speak to people afterwards and say, oh, yeah, we've got the full band. You know, we're playing in wherever, you know, just up the road in a few months' time. Come and see us then as well. And they're like, oh, really? What are you called? You know, are you on Facebook, on Instagram, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a good bit of variety, you know, because we love the full band gigs, but the pubs and bars are always cool as well. They're always really good.
Mm. Well, look, thank you very much, gentlemen. So you guys know, if you need an Oasis tribute band, it's Oasis. If you want Noel Gallagher, it's AKA Noel Gallagher. And yeah, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Appreciate it, James. Thanks very much for asking us.
We talked about the pedal show a little bit, didn't we? But I think it's a lot of very good chat, and I was happy to have, you know, two worlds collide. It's wonderful. All right. Great to speak to you, gentlemen. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
So thank you very much to Stu and to Matt. Fantastic stuff. And I've messaged them both afterwards. I think they've sort of got in touch and have carried on the conversation and sort of very much become sort of best buds from that. And so watch this space. I suggested that the Two Noels podcast could be on the horizon. I'd definitely listen to it. Top guys, good talkers and fantastic knowledge. All right, and as I said, make sure you check those guys out on the upcoming sort of gigs we talked about. I'm going to try and get down to that Dingwalls one for Oasis on the Saturday 9th of December. And by the looks of it, the nearest one to me for AK Noel Gallagher, I think, is in Swindon. That's like an acoustic-y one, so I think I'll try and get down to that one. All right, and we've had a couple of audio messages come in, which is very kind. First off, we have here Mark Osborne, who is over in America, but you can tell he's English, and he's got a Noel live review for us.
What's up, James? This is Mark Osborne here, who Aussie peeps on Twitter, phoning in from San Diego. Went to see Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds last night. It was a double headliner with him and Garbage, supported by a Canadian band called Metric. And I thought I'd give you a little review of the show. I took my two boys, aged 5 and 8, along. It was their first ever gig. They loved it. I loved it. The wife loved it. It was brilliant. They all sang along to Noel's songs, both old and new. They got to experience singing Don't Look Back in Anger, like their lives depended upon it. The set was great. He did Pretty Boy, Council Skies, We Didn't Get Easy Now, which was interesting. That was played earlier on the US tour, but we didn't get that last night. We also didn't get Live Forever, but instead we got Half a World Away, which I was very happy with and superb to hear. And it was just a brilliant day out. Noel, as you'd probably seen in the news, had been watching the Man City Champions League final at a bar in San Diego earlier that day, and was saying that his voice was pretty wrecked as a result. To be honest, I couldn't tell when he was singing. It sounded perfect, but he used that as an excuse to not do the Joy Division cover last night. So he joked that we got shortchanged by one song, but I'll be honest, I wasn't bothered that we didn't have that. We still had Going Nowhere, Little by Little, Master Plan, and everything from the sort of Oasis half of the set.
This next song is the lesser known B-side to a wonderful single called Stand By Me. The third, much maligned Oasis song, Be Here Now, much maligned by myself, I will freely admit that. The song is called Going Nowhere. Is it me?
We also got In the Heat of the Moment, which sounded amazing live. Like, it was, I would say, better live than on the album. Like, it really went off, and my little boys were loving that one as well and singing along to that. So all in all, fantastic. The weather was crap. Like, it's normally really good in San Diego, but the weather is terrible right now. And Noel was pretty funny about that, pointing out how bad the weather was and how he'd only bought one jacket for the US tour. But yeah, it was superb. It was great. We didn't stay for Garbage. My boys were young enough that they were exhausted by 10 p.m. and Garbage weren't on yet, so we chipped off. But we were very happy with what we saw. And yeah, it was superb. I'm loving the new album. I may go out on a limb and say it's my favorite one right now, although Chasing Yesterday often takes that crown. But I'm really loving the new one right now. Yeah, and hopefully other people can see him. It was a really good set, and the band sounded great. Cheers. Thanks, James. Keep doing what you do.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Mark. Hope you had a great time. Great for the boys to see them. You know, how exciting for them to get to see Noel like that in that sort of environment as well. So, yeah, very, very exciting. Really pleased you enjoyed it, mate, and thank you very much. Right, now we are going to go up to Ontario, Canada, from our friend from the Not After 30 podcast.
What's up, Oasis Pod? This is Paul Anthony DeFrancesca from the Not After 30 podcast, and I would like to give my review on the brand new album from Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, Council Skies. I am a vinyl head. I love collecting vinyl, and the Gallagher brothers are phenomenal for putting out great vinyl. And I gotta say, I got the limited run of 5,000 of the Blood record. It is a white or black record that blends in to each other. Every album's supposed to be unique. I feel like they're all gonna look like an ink block test, but I gotta say, the album is very beautiful, and I think the Gallagher brothers might be the best, I don't know how to say it, best, I don't know, artist out there putting out unique vinyls. If you go back and look at some of the ones that Liam has released, he had these beautiful laser cut one-sided singles, and of course his turquoise splatter album on the white vinyl was very special. These guys do it right, and of course they might be milking the fan base, but you know, as a collector, that's why we work so we can buy more shit. So with that being said, I think the album is very good. It's taken me about 10 listens to kind of get warm to the album itself. I didn't
I really liked where he was with his last album, kind of going in a much different direction. And this kind of seems like a little bit of a playback, a setback into what Noel does really great, which are these beautiful, well-written songs. But I like it overall, and I think the album is super cool. And for those out there, you know, in the collector's world, when something's numbered, you kind of put like a family tree out together. So out of 5,000, I have number 2,695. So I'm looking for my brothers or aunts, well, my brothers and sisters out there who might have a similar track or serial number, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, CJ, love the show. You're doing a great job. Sorry, CJ, I'm sorry. JC, wow. Edit this part out, please. Thank you so much for always producing a great, informative, and enjoyable podcast. Your fan all the way from lovely Milton, Ontario, Canada. Have a great one.
All right. Thank you very much. Fantastic stuff. Yeah, not a vinyl head myself, as I've said on here, but yeah, that is cool. And yeah, if you are one of the numbers up or down, you're a vinyl brother or sister of Paul, yeah, get in touch. That would be interesting to hear. But yeah, I agree. I've listened to the record a few more times, and yeah, I do enjoy it. I do think it's great. Let's say the fact that there wasn't that many new songs, I've kind of got over that now because it's all just merging into one. Yeah, the one thing I didn't cover last time. Oh, anyway, so yes, thank you very much. And yeah, CJ, who's CJ? Come on, man. Yes, the one thing I didn't cover was last time was the Pretty Boy acoustic track, because that is not on streaming, or it wasn't. I don't know if it is now. That is a vinyl exclusive. Although obviously Maxi Gonzalez put it on YouTube, so there you go. But yeah, I thought that'd be interesting. Like, oh, an acoustic version of Pretty Boy. I wonder what that'll sound like. So let's have a clip.
There was a girl like me. There was a boy like you. She made him sing like Elvis. What was she feeling?
And as you can hear, it's not really an acoustic version. It's similar to the bonus tracks that he did on the Best Of, where what he's basically done is it's just a remix of the recorded version, but they've just stripped out a lot of the other tracks and just kept the acoustic guitars high in the mix. So that's not an acoustic version. I think an acoustic version is when you're sat there with an acoustic guitar, like his demos for the Be Here Now stuff and things like that. So yeah, I think there's a bit of a cheeky one, really, to call it an acoustic version. But anyway, there we go. It's another kind of relatively unnecessary bonus track. And I'd be a bit peeved if I'd sort of bought the 800 quid vinyl just to have that. But there you are. Okay, thank you, Mark. And thank you, Paul. If you want to get in touch and send me your thoughts on the Noel album, or if you've seen him live or anything else, then feel free, oasispod@gmail.com. But anyway, all right, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post bonus episodes and other interesting stuff. Also, you get a link to the Discord if you join there. And yeah, that's always good fun. Plenty of good fun chat on the Discord with people that you may well have heard of on the Oasis podcast. And yeah, YouTube. Make sure you go and follow on YouTube. Got quite a lot going on over there. So yeah, do check that out. All right, that will do it for today. Thanks very much for listening. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Yeah.
So it's been really nice for him to get that. He's one of your, down your way, isn't he? Matt, the Stacey brothers, they're Scousers, aren't they?
No, I don't think they are. Aren't they? As far as I'm aware.
I think they are, because they were in the...
Google check now.
Yeah, Google.
I wasn't aware that they were. Based on their any interviews I've seen, I haven't picked up on them being Scousers or even...
Lemon Northern. Trees, Icicle Works, that's all... Oh, no, London. Huh, all right. All right, scrap that then. I think it's Liverpool-based. But anyway, so... yeah, so Paul
you've
Stacey.
Got Liverpool bass. You're talking Rush, you're talking Chris Sharrock, and you're talking Noel's guitar tech, Mick Winder. They're all the Scousers.
They're all the Scousers, yeah. Why did I think that then? Anyway, whatever.